What's going on, Snapback fam? Welcome back to another episode of Snapback Sports Pod. On this episode, we're breaking down which NBA player would be the most fun to be quarantined with, ranking the NFL's new wide receiver quarterback trios out in Arizona, Tampa, etc., and some mind-blowing stats to get you through this week. Let's get it.
Blue Wire.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh, he broke his ankles. A blast. Oh, blocked by James.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant with the jumper.
He got it. Oh, my. And the Lakers lead.
Mamba out.
What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Sutterman from Snapback Sports on Snapchat. Joining me today, and as always, is my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, how are you holding up, buddy?
Today is day, let's call it 8 of quarantine, and today I stubbed my toe on the corner of a couch just so I could feel something and yell, "Am one." Not actually, I saw that on Twitter, but that cracked me up. I'm doing all right. I'm doing well.
Are you really?
Yeah, man. I'm just watching a lot of... Watching a lot of TV, watching a lot of movies, exercising, eating, scrolling through TikTok. I've gotten into that recently. I've yet to pick up a book. I almost went to go buy a board game yesterday at Target, but they didn't really have much. I wasn't really going for Monopoly. But nonetheless, I'm doing well. And actually, I just got Xbox Live, so I might hop on 2K tonight.
Okay.
So that's my night plans.
That's fun. I was watching some reruns of college basketball national championships. We were watching the 2008 Memphis-Kansas game, which obviously we know what happens in that game. Mario Chalmers hits the shot to send it OT. They win the game. But I didn't remember how big of a choke job. Memphis was up 7 points with 2 minutes to play. Chris Douglas Roberts, do you remember him? He was like their second best player on the team. Yep. He missed like... He was 4-for-4 in the game, shooting 74%. He missed 2 free throws in the final minute. And my dad had no clue how the game ended, which actually made it like fun and exciting to watch.
He probably thought it was live.
Well, he probably did think it was live. But as we're watching, he's yelling, like as Collins is running down the floor for the handoff to Chalmers, he's yelling, "Why aren't they fouling? Foul, foul, foul." People forget that in 2008, so that's now 12 years ago, that was like the game where it changed an outlook on fouling down the stretch. Like nowadays,
I am the biggest proponent of fouling up up three. Up three with like less than 10 seconds left. The
Could
biggest
not
proponent.
Agree more.
But what game? What game? Crazy. It happened in a game this year.
It happened
the Duke
in the
UNC,
Duke UNC
round
UNC
one.
Game.
Yeah,
yeah. It was, and honestly, what happened was UNC lost even though they fouled, but it took the wackiest turn of events to even get to overtime. So I agree. I think I would always foul. I would say there's a better chance. You just burn too much clock and too much has to go wrong.
That's the best part. That's the best part about, like, I guess they're playing a lot of classics right now, is because there's these games in history that just stick out in your mind because of one reason. Like, you think of the Nova UNC national championship and the Chris Jenkins shot as it's like handed off from Archie Diacono. But like, people forget the 20 seconds before that when Joel Berry hit the craziest double clutch three. Marcus Page I've ever seen in my life. Like, I saw that shot the other day and I totally forgot about it solely because what happened. And then it made me think about it because I saw a tweet. It was like somebody sat behind the UNC bench that game, like right around the fans, and they said as Jenkins was inbounding the ball, there were still pillow cushions in the air from throwing them up after that shot. Just like
there
I can't even imagine. I mean, I can't imagine the heartbreak. I went through it myself, but to
what,
go from that,
what did
that,
you go through?
It ball bounced 4 times.
Oh.
But yeah, that shot, I just saw it the other day, and then you're talking about this Chris Douglas Roberts and everything that happens, but people only remember the Chalmers shot.
Yeah. I was at that game. There were still cushions. It was nuts. Like,
oh, you were at the Nova UNC game?
Yeah, I was at the Nova UNC game, which is crazy. And then we made the phone case for Jenkins, which was pretty cool.
Who did you bet on?
In that game, I was only a sophomore in college.
That's got nothing to do with it.
I know. I don't think.
Well, you remember your emotion when the shot went in. You either won money or you lost money.
No, because I was there. I think I was honestly there as impartial fan. We were sitting with. I was rooting for Villanova because Phil Booth, who played in the conference that I played in high school, who, fun fact, fun story, we were down 35 to him on my senior day at home, and he's the best player in the conference, obviously. He would go on to start for Villanova and win 2 national championships. But we're down 35. He already had a triple-double in the first half. Mid-second half.
Triple-double in the first half.
Yeah. Mid third quarter, we cut the lead to like 29 points, a 6-0 run, and they moved him onto me, so I forever like would just watch him throughout his college career. He led the game in scoring up until like the final 2 minutes. He had like 14 in the first half. So I was rooting for Nova, but I was sitting with a kid who was a diehard UNC fan, so it was tough to like celebrate in his face. But that shot was just, it was so sick. It was so sick.
Yeah, I remember I bet on UNC. It's one of those that'll just always stick with me, my reaction.
Sometimes you just got to be an impartial fan. I know it's not quite your style, but...
Well...
All right. So I posted a graphic the other day on my Snapchat, which said, if you were required to go into a 14-day quarantine with just yourself and one NBA player, who are you going to choose? And you have to screenshot. So right now on air, Abe and I are each going to screenshot and break down if we would be happy or sad with our quarantine partner. All right, go for it.
Oh, I forgot I was supposed to screenshot it. I thought it just lands. All right.
How did it just land?
Steph.
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Okay. Am I doing another one?
No. How do you feel about that?
It's just us two.
Yeah, it's just you two for 2 whole weeks. No Aisha, no Riley. Seth isn't there. Just you and Steph.
Could be worse. Feel about it. Could be worse. It doesn't really bring much to the table. I mean, might have a cool golf simulator, but like, I don't know. Could be worse.
Okay. All right. Not much content coming.
The other day when I did it. The other day when I did it. Well, I'd probably come out. I'd win one shooting competition. I know that. I'd win one. Whether it was like on a Fisher Price hoop or like pop a shot in like your basement thing, like some
you would win 0 shooting competitions. With
Well, you don't know. We play 2K. Don't know.
I literally know under any circumstance. He's like one of the greatest athletes and greatest hand.
What's that got to do with 2K?
Hand-eye coordination.
Oh, piss
off.
Best
twitch muscles. Mental aspect. He's literally, he would be better than you in anything.
No, I disagree with that.
What would you be better? You think you could beat Steph Curry in 2K?
Yeah, why not?
Based off what?
Based off how can he beat me?
Because he's a supernova athlete who has
what
elite
eye-hand coordination. What the hell does that have to do with gaming? Then why wouldn't the players
we already know what he can do. Give me one reason. You're not even good at 2K, so give me one reason why you could beat him.
Well,
do
you're
you know
wrong.
He doesn't play?
Well,
do
you're
know,
wrong.
Like,
I know,
do you
know I'm
something
good.
I know
I'm good.
How good, though?
And I'm not saying that I would beat Steph Curry. I'd put my
you
life on it.
You just said that. You just, okay.
I'm not. I'm saying one game. Him. I'm saying that, listen, if you gave me a few tries, like, how the hell do you know if Steph Curry's good at 2K? Like, you have no idea. He's got 2 kids. He probably plays no video games.
But your statement was, I would beat him in 2K.
I would.
You just made that statement out of nowhere.
I would.
Okay. All right, my screenshot time.
Someone you probably won't beat in
2K. I got, Chris Paul, CP3.
I don't believe
it. I'll text you the picture right now. And you know there's like 180 NBA guys in this thing. So I would have to screenshot this like 9 million times.
I did this
times.
Twice, and I got Steph Curry and Ben Simmons. Like, that's pretty cool.
There you go. All right. What did I just text you? Check your phone. Confirm for the people.
You're spending 2 weeks with Nikola Jokic. Get out of here.
All right. Stop fronting. I got my boy Chris Paul. Ooh, would that be a fun person to spend time with, though? I don't know. I mean, he's my favorite player ever, so I feel
probably
like
has a bowling
like
alley.
Dream.
Probably has a bowling alley.
We know he has a bowling alley. Based
I almost said something, and then I realized he's like a really, really good bowler.
He is a nasty bowler.
Yeah,
so
no, I was about to say I could beat him in bowling, but like I can't.
I
am good at bowling.
You're not good at bowling, to be
clear.
You're good at the way you bowl, which I still don't even think it's. I still don't even think, like, if you take it out of our summer camp, that you're good at bowling. Like, what were you putting up? What numbers?
I do not bowl any lower than a 150 if I go now.
Right.
Automatic 150.
I don't think anyone who bowls, who actually bowls, bowls.
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about actual bowlers. I'm talking about the me and yous. I'm the best.
Okay. All right. Chris Paul, I'll be coming over pretty soon. All right.
Well, what player would you? No. Now you have your choice.
Okay. What player would I want to be quarantined with? So CP is obviously my favorite player, and he's really smart guy. So I feel like we'd be having good combos. He's NBA PA. Maybe we could make some changes. Maybe we're on the call with like Adam Silver fixing the league, figuring out how to salvage this season. But what player would I want to, like, who would be the most entertaining? Essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have someone in mind?
Yeah, but you go first.
I don't have one in mind right now. Maybe your person would spark an interest for me.
So, who would I want to spend 2 weeks in quarantine with? This was actually, I kid you not, the first person that came to mind, and it's a no-brainer after even considering it. Serge Ibaka.
Really?
I don't know if you have seen, but this guy...
I know he's playing and he cooks.
Right. He cooks. This guy is on YouTube with a great show he puts on however, I've only seen a few episodes, but he cooks fire food and he has NBA players on to interview. He seems like a fun guy. He seems like he's got some drip, or he calls it art or scarves. So maybe go hang with him maybe we'll do it during the winter. But Serge Ibaka, for the sole fact that he seems like a cool dude and he can cook. So really the cooking.
Okay, so you are really just leaning on, like, a personal chef type of thing.
Well, it's 2 weeks in quarantine.
Yeah, listen.
You're not going to rewrite the record. You're not going to rewrite the NBA record books in 2 weeks. Sorry.
I'm not hating. A few people off the top of my head, I think, like, everyone likes to frame him as this boring guy, but Klay Thompson probably is, like, super fun to just chill with for 2 weeks. Like, this is a hardcore chill period. I think Ibaka's great. You get good meals all day. You get the funny interviews, all that stuff. But how do you fill those other 10 hours in the day? Klay Thompson is, like, the ultimate chill dude. Agree?
2 days, maybe. 2 weeks, I don't know.
You wouldn't be able to chill.
Like, what is Clay bringing to the table for the two of you in those 2 weeks? You both have to bring an essential asset to survive.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. To survive. But there's no survival. I can cook. Like, I can make a piece of chicken on the grill. That's not too complicated.
But can you make escargot like Mr. Ibaka and I?
Honestly, with Google and YouTube these days, I feel like I can do it all. All right, moving on to... Actually, before we move on, DM us or tell us who you guys would most want to be quarantined with. I think that's a fun game to play. Just keep time moving. On to the NFL.
The more NFL we do, the faster it'll be back.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you who I would not want to spend 2 weeks with: Kevin Durant. I'm miserable.
Why? Well, he is miserable. Nah. Oh, yeah.
That's why then.
NFL free agency, it's not wrapped up. There's still, like, Clowney has to be moved. Not moved, but signed. Robbie Anderson. There's still some big ones, but the majority, the bulk of it has been done. But today we are going to talk about the new trios in the NFL: quarterback and their two wide receivers. The first big one is in the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills get Stephon Diggs. Now they have Josh Allen, Stephon, and John Brown.
Oh, we're not calling this a big three.
Well, that's
stop.
So it's funny you say that, because the
Come
Bills,
on, you're reaching.
Hold on. I'm not reaching. There's four new. These are the new trios, and they're one of them without a doubt. Stephon Diggs is a top 10 wide receiver in the league. Josh Allen had a very good season, and honestly, John Brown was over 1,000 yards. And even more importantly, let me read you the.
So
AFC.
Can I call another new big three? Marcus Mariota, Nelson Aguilar, and Darren Waller.
No, because you know that's not true.
Neither. This isn't a big three. It's Josh Allen.
Okay. And I understand you're just hating right now, but Stephon Diggs is a top 10 wide receiver, and it's just part of the game. Just play the game.
All right.
With that being said, I was sent AFC standings today, AFC power rankings, and listen to how bad the AFC is, and then maybe you'll reconsider actually the fact that the Bills could not only win the AFC East, but be a 3 seed. These were the power rankings. Don't mind the actual power rankings. Just think about these teams. Chiefs, Ravens. Okay. Number 3, Tennessee Titans. Number 4, Indianapolis Colts. 5, Jesus. Patriots, who don't have a quarterback. 6, Bills. 7, Steelers. 8, Browns. 9, Broncos. 10, Texans. I think they're probably a little low, but they lost Nuke. 11, Jets. 12, Chargers. I think quarterback away from maybe moving up a little. Dolphins, Raiders, Bengals, Jets. Like, the AFC is that bad.
I've been telling you this for years, that the NFC is far superior than the AFC. Okay,
well, they weren't, because last year the Patriots had Brady, and the Texans were a very good team. So that's not the point of this. Point is, that trio actually will be dangerous in the AFC because of, I think, how bad the AFC that might bad. Be, or just how that mediocre. Yeah, so you're not in on this Bills trio.
I just, for the rest of the for the nature of the conversation and the other teams that are going to be involved in those trios, I don't think they belong in the party. That's okay. What I'll say. I think that the other trios that are going to be mentioned between...
Okay, they're the worst one of the trio, but they're still a new trio, and who added a top 10 wide receiver, and who will be a playoff team most likely this year?
Sure.
True or false?
Okay. True.
All right, thank you. That's all we need to hear. Next one is TB12. Tom Brady, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. Don't forget about OJ Howard, Daria Gumbawala. But Tom Brady has never really had weapons like this in his career.
And yeah, let me stop you. I think I decided, it took me a few days to what I think about this. I think I'm all in. I think I'm all in on Tampa Bay.
It's hard not to be.
It's really hard not to be.
Because the Falcons are going to be just miserable. The Panthers are going to be not so high.
I
don't think the Panthers will be good.
No, I was talking about Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, because they signed, like, washed-up 25-year-old Todd Gurley. They're going to save themselves. Point being that Tom Brady, like, he had Randy Moss, and I feel like I've said this before, but he had Randy Moss, and he sets a touchdown record, and he has Gronk and makes him the greatest tight end of all time. Now he has 6'5", Mike Evans. Godwin, honestly, might be just as good, if not better. Like, in Bruce Arians' offense, they're going to be – they were 7-9 last year. Their point difference
with a blind quarterback.
Right. And Jameis Winston turned the ball over 30 plus times. Like, turnovers lose football games. It's just a fact. And if they could have held onto a few more of those plays, like, they're probably in the playoffs with TB. Yeah.
Yeah, but
I'm pretty much in on that.
On paper, obviously Tampa Bay is elite. They have all these weapons. They're working on the offensive line, and their defense was showing up last year. But it's just the one big cloud over the entire situation that we're all going to be talking about for the entirety of next year, and that people are already talking about now, is, was it Brady or was it Belichick? Like, if Tom can go out there and be Tom Brady and it hasn't skipped a beat like he did with the Patriots, and the Bucks turn into, I don't know, a 12-4 team, then, like, that's just crazy. We all think it can happen, but, like, in the football world, like, there's a lot more that goes into it. We've learned that in the past with hyped up teams just because of their weapons. We've learned that that's not what it takes. But, like, on paper, sign me up.
I think it's the dumbest argument. Not argument. I just think it's very dumb to pit the two against each other as if, like, it was Belichick or Brady.
Right, but that is the world we live in.
But it's not really, like, there's no debate that Brady in Belichick's system elevated him, and Tom Brady's play and performance elevated Belichick. Like,
yeah, but you told me last conversation about the trios, for the sake of the conversation, keep the Bills in there. You just got to accept that this is the conversation now. Like, they're always going to be pinned against each other now.
I don't necessarily agree, because think about this.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying what's going to happen.
I'm saying, well, you're going to do that because you like to pin it like that. I don't think it has anything to do with that.
I am just going to... Go ahead.
I'm saying Tom Brady, in theory, hasn't been in his prime for like 8 years. And he's won multiple Super Bowls. Like, everyone's
prime. He almost won the MVP a few years ago.
He did win the MVP a few years ago.
I knew that.
But I'm saying he hasn't technically been in his athletic prime. He has been just so solid. People forget 10 years ago or 15 years ago when he really was. Like, he made insane throws down the field. His accuracy was literally the best of all time. Like, go back and watch the film. Tom Brady is an unbelievable quarterback. If at the end of his career, when he's 43 years old, he can't throw down the field and people think that's because Bill Belichick built a check down system for him, then they're just being asinine.
No, I said that. I said that right when the Tampa Bay rumors came out. I'm like, okay, Tom can go to Tampa Bay or whatever, but how does he think he's going to reach Chris Godwin and Mike Evans down the field? Like, that's what the offense is predicated onto.
Well, there is a side-by-side clip of, because when they talked about Tom Brady to San Fran, there's a clip of Jimmy G missing that throw in the Super Bowl and Tom Brady week one throw against Pittsburgh where he literally drops it in between three players deep. He doesn't have the Aaron Rodgers.
Who posted that? Orlovsky?
Probably. He doesn't have the Aaron Rodgers Mahomes arm strength. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. But it's not like he's throwing ducks like 12 yards down the field.
But
it's
does Aaron Rodgers have the Aaron Rodgers arm strength?
Ooh. This is definitely not a pro Aaron Rodgers pod.
No. I am a pro Aaron Rodgers. I just like to to get the fire going. You know, I'm a stir of the pot.
No, we got to keep the storylines there. On to the desert. This one's probably the one I'm most excited for outside of Tampa. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and seriously, do not forget about Christian Kirk. The fact that he's going to be the number three wideout on that team, they might score a million points. They won't stop anyone, but they might score a million points.
They don't really have much of an offensive line either.
I know, but they do have the luxury of Kyler Murray kind of scrambling around. I do agree. I think they need to make a draft pick. They didn't really sign anyone big as they should have, but they are go that offense. I mean, they scored. I don't know. How could they not be?
I think everyone just wants it to be fun, but in reality, like, I mean, if Kyler takes that second jump, like we've seen that in the past, that second year for all these quarterbacks that just randomly burst into a potential MVP candidate, will it be Kyler? I don't know. I doubt it'll be Daniel Jones. So if you keep doing the math, who knows if Haskins will play with Cam Newton, so why not Kyler? But this is definitely one of the more fun teams in the NFL just because this move with DeAndre Hopkins came out of nowhere. We know what Kingsbury does with that, what do they call it?
Air raid.
Air raid offense, thank you. I mean, Kenyon Drake got going at the end of last year. If they can carry that, why not? You know?
It's probably too tough a division for them to actually.
They'll probably win seven games.
Yeah. Seven maybe.
Seven's a successful season.
They got up to five. Before we move on to the last trio, which is New Orleans, I'm looking at the NFL standings from last year, and something just actually, like, peeked out at me. The Bears scored 280 points last year. Okay, in context, you have no clue if that's a lot or little. I know you know it's a little because it's Mitch Trubisky, but... Mm-hmm. Let me read the teams around him. Vikings, 407. That's 127 more. Packers, 376. Lions, 341. Saints, 458. Falcons, 381. The closest one to them is the Redskins, 266. They have 14 less. The points against for the Bears, 298. That is the lowest in the entire NFC. I think we kind of think they fell off. But we don't understand. They went 8-8. Mitch Trubisky just destroyed this football team.
Okay, where do we stand on the Bears? Because I am in two places.
So it's Nick Foles, right?
Mitch, listen, if Mitch wins the job, which, come on, I'm back on my bullshit. Like it's we'll doing our thing from last year. But if Foles wins the job, which I think we all think he will. I'm all
and
in.
We're an anti-Aaron Rodgers pod.
I'm pro Kirk Cousins. In. On the
I'm
Bears.
Pro Kirk Cousins. I'm nervous. I was all in on the Jags this year with Foles. He was so bad he didn't win a game. I know he got hurt, but like with that defense, he just needs to play that game manager role and make a few big throws.
Let's do it again, Nick. Let's do it again.
We'll have to see how that one plays out. That's a TBD.
I think we could all. I think our prediction right here is that Foles is the starter, right? I don't know.
Well,
they got to figure out this year if they want to pay Mitch Trubisky or not. And you're not going to figure that out from the bench. So, like, if Foles starts game one, then they're out on Mitch.
Okay, I'm sorry. If they're still trying to figure out if they should pay Mitch Trubisky, the Bears are a mess of an organization. New Orleans Saints, Emmanuel Sanders.
Why'd you ever draft a quarterback from UNC? Or Duke, like the Giants.
Emmanuel Sanders, Michael Thomas, Drew Brees. I saw some Saints beat reporters and Saints fan pages talking about how they want them to draft a wide receiver with their 24th pick, I believe it is, to keep Sanders in the slot, keep MT out wide. I mean, that's a lot of weapons to have, but we know the Saints are all in right now. Like, Kamara, Thomas, Brees, like...
The Saints are the best team in the NFL.
Oh, my God. That's just so aggressive.
I figured... What do you mean? I've been saying that since week one of last year.
Right. And they got beat at home by Kirk Cousins.
Aren't you saying...
I don't know. At this point...
I mean, obviously, it's March 22nd. I'm just diarrheaing out the mouth. But this is the best trio in the NFL. You throw in Kamara. If they draft another receiver, they're getting a veteran leader on defense with Malcolm Jenkins. They have Marshawn Lattimore. Like, I mean, obviously, the Saints are all in every year, and they always find a way to mess it up at the end or get screwed out of it. I'm all for that as well. Saying the Saints could be there at the end every year at this point until Drew Brees retires. Because, I mean, Drew Brees
did decline.
But would you be surprised if you saw Drew Brees throw for 5,000 yards this year?
All right, time out. I don't know if he declined. He played horrible in the playoff game because before he got hurt or after he got – sorry, not before, after. If he had not gotten hurt – those 10 games he put together were like MVP caliber games. So I don't know what happened in the playoff.
Yeah, he actually threw 32 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago.
He was still out of control last year. So, yes, the Saints on paper should be one of the best teams, if not the best. But we'll always have to wait on them. All right, Abe, read us some ads. Get the people some free money via Bet Online, and then I'm going to pull out some mind-blowing stats.
Our best friends at Bet Online, with currently no NBA, no NHL, or MLB, thank you for reminding me, you might think there is nothing to bet on. Well, you, my friend, are wrong. Our exclusive partner at Bet Online still has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on, or let them bring Vegas right to your door with their online casino and blackjack, all open 24 hours a day and all online, including their $750,000 poker series. If you're into props and entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, which, I mean, it's pretty predictable nowadays, and even the weather. Visit their website and join today to receive a 100%, that's right, 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Be sure to use our code BLUEWIRE, BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Thank you, Abraham. All right, Abe, listen to some of these stats, and then I just kind of want to hear your reaction.
I'm gonna rank on a scale of 1 to 10 how
okay, my mind I like is. That. I like that. If Wayne Gretzky never scored a goal in his NHL career, he'd have the most points in NHL history.
Okay, so on the scale, this is a 2 because I knew that. But if I didn't know that, we're not scaling.
You're going to know some of these. They're like well-known
but
stats.
But if I didn't know that, that's nuts. I mean,
like he had
more. I don't know much about the NHL. Like, I know a lot about the NBA, so like I can spin it to say Jordan used to play with a bunch of plumbers. But I don't know the NHL well enough to know what it was like back when Gretzky played. So I'm just gonna go out and say that's absolutely wild.
Yeah. June 14th, 1974, Nolan Ryan pitched 13 innings, 19 strikeouts, 10 walks, 8 hits, 235 pitches. Who would you like to see throw 235 pitches in today's game besides Bartolo Colon? Because that's the right answer.
Gerrit Cole, because every inning he just keeps throwing harder. Yeah. It makes no sense.
I would love to see what he's at it, like how he looks at pitch 180.
He's up to 108.
So what do you rate that? What do you rate that on the scale?
That's pretty crazy. That's like a 7. Okay. All
right. That's pretty crazy. That's a 7. All right. I love it.
You can't just be handing out 9s and 10s.
No, I agree. Wait, what did the first one, what did Gretzky rank at on the scale?
Oh, let's give Nolan Ryan a 7-1, and we'll give Gretzky a 7-9. Okay. It would have been an 8 if I knew that, if I didn't know that.
Wilt Chamberlain averaged more than 48 minutes per game in a season, and in his career averaged over 40 minutes per game. He never fouled out of a game.
Wow. You got me with he never fouled out of a game. That's good. It's like we're going 8-8 with that. That's like, okay, so Wilt Chamberlain, kind of, when people bring up his name in the GOAT conversation, everyone's just like, yeah, whatever, dude, shut up. But that's just because of like the era that he played in. Like, he was kind of just like the first ever dominant, and it wasn't really like a substantial league. But like, I mean, if you look at Wilt Chamberlain's blind resume with stats compared to MJ, Bill Russell, LeBron, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, like it doesn't even compare. This guy was averaging 30 and 30 in an entire season.
It's nuts.
And he didn't foul out. That's wild.
Yeah. The Detroit Tigers have drafted more Super Bowl winning quarterbacks than the Detroit Lions.
That's great. That's great. That was out like. Well, didn't Russ get taken by the Tigers?
Is that who it is? No, he's a Yankee.
He was a Yankee. Tigers, yeah. NFL draft.
I think it's Mahomes. I'm like 99.9% positive.
List of Detroit Tigers. No, not Princeton Tigers.
All right, I'm going to move on to the next one.
Yeah, forget
Secretariat wins the Belmont to win the Triple Crown by 33 lengths. So obviously it's horse racing, and we might not know the most about horse racing, but 33 lengths, like,
you know, we do know the most about, though. Remember we saw when we were kids.
We do love some good horse
racing. Dog racing. Remember that as a kid?
Of course, down in Florida. But how do you win a race by 33 lengths? Like, you have to almost be, I feel like, twice as fast as every other horse.
I need some, well, probably PEDs first. Two, I would need someone to translate 33, what do they call it, paces?
Lengths,
in terms of, like, feet, yards. You know what I mean?
All right, I'm not going to do that math for you right now. What do you rate that on the scale, 1 to 10? Without the measurements that you're requesting.
I'm Googling it. But 6-7.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
Fernando
Tatis. Oh, my God. Wait. I changed my mind. So they won the race by... He won the race by 27.5 yards. You said he averaged that?
Or that was just Belmont? No, he won that to win the
Oh, just one race. Yeah, we're going to keep that at around the sixes. Okay.
Fernando Tatis hits 2 grand slams in 1 inning off the same pitcher. Okay, it's not the craziest thing, but what's the craziest part is how is this pitcher still in the game?
Yeah, I don't know how you managed that. It makes me think, I wonder what the situation in the game was, if they were up big or down big. Maybe it was like a position player or something. Like, you know how sometimes they throw them in like these blowout games just to save arms?
Yeah. It had to have been one of those. Or,
yeah, that's crazy.
I guess in theory you could say he hits the grand slam. We could just look this up, but I think it's more fun to hypothesize. He hits the grand slam, there's no outs, and then 2 outs, gets him back up as the bases are loaded. When the guy thinks he's almost out of the jam, he's only let up 4 runs. That, I guess, in theory could happen, but
Let's see. Both times off Chan Ho Park in the 3rd inning, Tatis not only became the first blah 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 blah. He had 8 runs batted. Yep, that makes sense. against the Dodgers. Chan Ho Park was the starting pitcher.
Yikes.
So it was not that type of situation. The final score of that game was 11-5, Cardinals.
Okay. More men walk the moon than Mariano Rivera has allowed runs in the postseason. Okay.
Holy shit.
I think that's...
Holy shit.
What?
That's wild.
You've never heard that before? That's like one of the most famous stats of all time.
Oh, nope. So, not for me. Glad I heard it for the first time here.
So I believe the number is like he's allowed 11 and there's been 12 men on the moon, and he pitched like 173 postseason innings. But I think what's even crazier is that he blew a World Series. He blew a save in the World Series to win the World Series in a Game 7, which is just like, he's the greatest closer of all time, but to have that
maybe the greatest pitcher of all time in general.
Right.
Depends how you view that.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy how sports work. Like, it just shows like how much human error, I mean, maybe I'm reaching with this, how much human error that these guys are so automatic all the time, and that in the slip of a moment they could just crash and burn.
One pitch.
Think these guys are robotic.
Well, that's what is crazy about him, is that he's so robotic that he actually only had that slip pretty much one time. Pistol Pete averaged 44.5 points per game in his college career. They did not have a three-point line. They estimated, based off where he shot from, obviously the game would have been different, but he would have averaged 57 per game if the three-point line existed.
How do you think Ben Simmons...
And this wasn't like that... What's it called, guy? Remember the guy who just scored like 120 points and they were just like giving him the ball and letting him shoot layups and threes? Like, this was – people were playing defense and trying to compete against him.
How do you think Ben Simmons would do back then? Probably be the best player on planet Earth, right?
Would he? I feel like the spacing helps him.
He doesn't have any spacing, Jack. That's the point. That's why we stink.
He does have spacing. I mean, not with Embiid on the floor or Horford, but he does have more spacing because of the three-point shot. Like, go look at the tape of any
game. Obviously. What is it, like four people in the paint?
Yeah, exactly. So to ask, you know, which to say it would have been easier, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, good thing we don't have to find out. Just shoot the fucking ball.
All right, Snapback fam. Thank you guys for listening to another episode. Let us know what your favorite stat was that just absolutely blew your mind. You're 10 out of 10 on the scale, but we should be back on Thursday. Make sure to like, not like, there's no liking. Make sure to subscribe.
You can like stuff.
Yeah, you can like it, just mentally like it. But make sure you subscribe and please share with your friends who are trying to get through this time. And
we are the only way to cure Corona. Tell your friends the only way to get healthy is to listen to us.
Snapback fam, peace.